Communications, please.
Okay, we'll go into communications. First would be to approve minutes from the last meeting, approve travel and training under finance, approve transfers and appropriations, amended certificate of estimated resources, engage Peck, Schaefer, and Williams to assist in arbitrage rebate calculations, approve new county fund for the police officer training. Under personnel, the first would be to release Assistant Director Tim Stelicta as for failure to complete probationary period, approve pay adjustments for CSEA, approve 3% board increase for area 1, 2, and 3 courts, accept and place on file list of care facility personnel actions. Under development, advertise for bids for stormwater improvement under contract CDBG 0702, approve modify enterprise zone agreement with TR Gear Landscaping, and that is for, I have a reason here, someplace. Request a committed real property investment amount of $725,000 be reduced to $609,000, the original amount included investment that do not qualify as real property, and will bring the company into compliance for the remainder of the term of their agreement. The approved and authorized board president to execute sub-recipient agreement with City of Fairfield. Under Job and Family Services, accept place on file employees payroll for January 5th through January 18th. Approve 3 child daycare contracts, one with Extended Hands, Our Loving Arms Learning Center, and Miami University. Approve contract with Dr. Eric Ringel, MD. Approve contract with Maximus for software maintenance. Approve contract with BCCHC for medical services. And approve amendment number 1 to contract with Lifespan. Under Children's Services, accept and place on file payroll of 1 and 2. Approve agreements with Catholic Social Services for support services, Montgomery County for professional services, Rhonda M. Sneed for consulting services, Sandra Lasser for consulting services, and OSU Research Foundation for EDU services. Under engineer, authorize expenses for the annual township seminar, grant special hauling permits, exchange bonds for Bethany Station Phase 2 and Village of Providence Section 2, advertise for bid replacements under contract 715 and 802, receive and refer bids for traffic signal maintenance under contract 7-23. Approve agreement for A.R. Petrosi for engineering services. Approve agreements with Miami University for dry weather screening and American Structure Point. Under miscellaneous, accept the resignation of Nancy Neal from Alcohol and Drug Addiction Services Board and appoint Jeffrey Budo to Butler County Rural Zoning Commission as a reappointment. Approve reimbursement to Marianne Williams. Approve the employment of Unified Government Services for collecting delinquent taxes. Approve bids for dry cleaning service for Butler County Sheriff's Office. Award contract for Common Pleas movable furniture. Approve change order for West Hangar Development Phase 2. The last one I have to ask for a separate vote. Okay.
Move to approve.
Second.
I'm not used to making
We had that all about it.
Commissioner Jolivet?
Yes.
Commissioner Dixon?
Yes.
Commissioner Furman?
Yes.
And the last would be approve estoppel certification for Liberty Dixon Center.
Move to approve.
Second.
Commissioner Jolivet?
Yes.
Commissioner Furman?
Yes.
Thank you.
Well, pleased to introduce our illustrious county engineer, Greg Wilkins.
Get something to stand on back in.
Oh. You know, you haven't got a lot of room to talk. Furman could say something, but you ain't got a lot of room to talk.
Not a lot of hate to talk.
You know, there ain't much difference here, buddy, I tell you.
Your wife told me to do that.
Yeah.
I love it in this room.
Yeah, you feel it? good morning.
Good morning.
Here to tell you about the Liberty Fairfield Road Bridge, which we're getting ready to advertise for bids. It's a replacement of and realignment. I don't think your monitors are working. Of the bridge at Woodsdale, the arch bridge that you see there, it's structurally in fairly good shape, but it was built. That's the original one. It was in 1915, I think. And here's 1930 is the one we got. Was originally built. If you remember, we rehabbed this bridge when Miller came in and widened this bridge, put a new surface on it, extended out, put the guardrail, the different type of guardrail structure. And the overall length of that structure is like 633 feet. is that the two separate structures, one over to Miami and then one over to Railroad. You see the difference we're talking about. We're to construct a new bridge on our new alignment, realigned approaches, and which should eliminate the S-curves, which you've had problems with trucks overturning and other things. And that, in front of you there is a new alignment. As you're looking, it's looking north. You're looking from the south north. Kind of it goes back through Jerry Becker's operation there onto upstream on the river. The one in red is a new alignment. Pretty much touches down at Osberger Road on the very north end. Comes in through Woodsdale. The remainder, portion of Liberty Fairfield to be left open to get down to Canal. Most of the, and left over for Kennedy Road and Joseph Road over there. But the bridge will be demolished at the completion of this project. There's another view. You're looking upstream again, looking to the north. That's Jerry Becker's operation, Floyd Vickers' old operation in there. There's a concrete plant in there. You can see Woodsdale Road. If you look up a little bit, Woodsdale's coming in on the northern part of the screen there. So you see it, there's going to be a major realignment of this. This is a different view. This is on the north approach, looking towards the bridge. The S-curves we had all the problems with, and a lot of trucks turning over in that area. That's looking north from the south. You can see the vertical in the bridge. It isn't a new guardrail system now, but that bridge was cantilevered in 1980 when we redid it and carried out to get the to get 12-foot lanes in there. Before, I think it was probably somewhere in the area of nine-foot lanes. There's another picture of the alignment again. As you see the development at the bottom of the screen there. That's going to be left open. I don't know if you can see that street in there. Right through there. That's going to connect, kind of work through that and connect on down to open up Canal Road. And that's what the future plans, that's how we're going to service Canal Road down through there. There's a bigger aerial. That's looking to the south. Up in the upper left-hand corner of the screen is the Elks golf course with their lake in there. And the alignment's going to come is pretty much a straight alignment coming straight off Osberger Road and touching down to the other side of the hill. This is the biggest bridge that the county's ever replaced in here. It's 818 feet long. The High Street Bridge is 543. The one we did on California Road is 506. We got an estimated cost of about $10.3 million. The funding hurdles. This has been a major hurdle. We've had these plans done since probably the mid to late 1990s, but funding has been always the obstacle and we had to overcome. And we came up in real good shape on this. We got $5 million of federal money out of CEO, which is County Engineers Association. We got $4 million out of ODOT for their large bridge fund. We got $1 million for right away and $1 million is a local match from the OPWC. So you're looking at about $11 million that the county's local share is $263,000. So, I mean, there's a lot of obstacles to get there, but we managed to get there. Planning hurdles. Again, as I said, this, if you remember in the mid-90s, there was the push to go metric. These plans were done in metric. There is going to be a cost associated with that. People are not used to bidding in metric, so we're going to get some cost rising. But the real deal is, if we had to redo the plans, you got to redo them all. It isn't just a matter you convert. So that was probably close to another $800,000 to redo the plans, which we decided would bid them out this way. We had to do some minor revisions in them, but didn't have to redo them all. The original environmental was approved. We had it all approved in 1999. It didn't hold. We were really pushing, and that's why I called for the special meeting in February 21st. Because if we don't get this out and get that done, we're going to lose at least 6 months in this because of the Indiana bat. From March 15th to September 15th, we cannot clear trees. So we got to have April 15th. We got to have the clearing done prior to April 15th. And that's why there's a big push on to get this out. We've just got, we were on the core to get the permit for the clear and the environmental, which they put in the last end. We got to place 100 trees in here that the Indiana bat, it'd be habitat for the Indiana bat in the area of the old abutment, which we're going to remove, and the old fill on that other side. Flood, you know, a lot of things have changed. We got a floodplain volume compensation that for any foot, cubic foot of fill you put in the area, you got to remove a cubic foot for flood purposes. That became a little obstacle. I was able to work with the floodplain manager and get that compensation north of here. So we got that completed. The right-of-way negotiations took over a year. We had 20 parcels and 4 relocations. The relocations are you got to find them suitable housing at the same cost housing in an area generally to this. It takes quite a long time. Another major hurdle is dealing with the railroad, quite honestly. The railroad probably for a matter of 3 months wouldn't even return our call. We call them up and they just, so what? Literally. Finally, it's through a personal friend of mine that works for the railroad, CSX, down in Jacksonville. I made a call to him, and he sent out an email, and we finally got things to happen. But happened at a cost. The way the railroad works, you got to put on deposit before they will even open up the plans. You put on deposit what their estimate is for review and everything else. We had to put on deposit $352,000 before they would turn the first sheet to open up the plans. And then they would not talk to us till those plans were completely reviewed. They would not talk to you about right-of-way, which we had to buy right-of-way from them. And legally, they're in their own right. Their laws were written in the 1860s when they were king of the hill, and they're still king of the hill. So the feds are easier to work with than the railroad, quite honestly. Construction hurdles. There is a construction hurdle on this. We got a 30-foot fill on a north abutment that when you put those type of fills in, you're going to have settlement. Typically, standard practice is to wait a year, let it settle, but that would have played havoc in the construction schedule to let that fill sit because we had to build the abutments and everything else in that same fill. So we did some exploration. We're looking at dynamic compaction and some others, but we found a way that we can use GeoGrid, which is a plastic woven material that you can put on your fills that will reduce the settlement and should eliminate the settlement and cause us to bring it right up and not have a delay and wait for the settlement to occur. That's a picture of the bridge in a new alignment, the engineering drawings. Green is the old alignment, the old bridge. Red is the new bridge and new alignment, so you can see all the S-curves and everything else that's coming out of it. You can see the river under there. And this is a little bit better picture of it. That's a bridge itself. You can see it in profile and in plan view. The yellow line to the left of that screen is the railroad. You can see we're bridging the river and the railroad all in one single span going across everything. Great. That's why the bridge is so long.
Can I ask you a question? Mm-hmm. With the bridge plans, is there going to be room for pedestrians to walk across?
No, it's a four-lane section. I don't think we don't have walks in this one, if memory serves me right. It was just set up or we're out on the four-lane section. Because that wasn't in consideration our bike plan, which we now incorporate in our thoroughfare plan, as you well know. But these plans were done, I get, in the mid-90s again, when that wasn't a consideration that we used.
I noticed all the houses that are being built up on Liberty.
Yeah, there's some. But we don't have sidewalks along Liberty Fairfield anywhere along there, so we're not encouraging pedestrian traffic up along that. Still, it's a 55 miles an hour road that unless we can get off to the side, and substantially, I'm not comfortable with pedestrian traffic that close to those speeds anyway.
That's a four lane.
Yeah, set up for a four lane structure. You see the two blue lines. A normal pool of water is a narrow line in there. It's a normal river pool. The other blue line to the outside of that is the 100-year flood line on the river. This is our schedule to get out, as I said, that so we can clear it in a timely manner. The so we don't hurt the Indiana bat habitat, that we, this is the process we're looking. We asked for your special meeting. I don't think you were meeting in February 21st, but we're looking to get that out. So we're in it. Today we're asking authorization to advertise, and we'll be advertised over the next 3 weeks, next three Tuesdays. We'll open bids on the 19th, turn them around, and be back for award on the 21st of February. This is the construction schedule. March to April, we got to be cleared by April 15th. Clearing and grubbing. We'll start utilities April to July. We'll start under bridge construction July to August 09. It's about an 18-month construction is what we're looking at. We'll shift the traffic in August 09, tie in the approaches, and then demolish the bridge at the end in September of 09. A little history on where we've been in our bridge program. You can see with development, we have and some of our own replacement, we've got additional bridges of 20 bridges or 30 bridges since 1997. We had 363, now we got 393. The load limits, we've made major gains in reduction of load limited bridges since 1995. 1995 we had 34 bridges. Today we got 4 that are load limited. Our budget since 1995 has been $33 million on bridges. We're spending annually about $2.5 million a year on bridge replacement. The bridge replacement is some of the easier dollars that we can match grants to, quite honestly. OPWC is one of the areas we have got additional grant money and pretty regularly get it on bridges. As long as we play our load-limited bridges right, our load-limited bridges, they get extra points in that scoring process. So we watched the 4 we got remaining, how we package them. they're valuable because we'll package them within with other bridges so we can get extra points and then get that whole package approved. So we don't like to put 2 load-limited bridges in one submittal for grants because that we're getting pretty well down the scale with only 4 left. That's all we got. If you got any questions on any of it.
What it looks like going through right through Jerry Becker's operation, right?
Mm-hmm.
So are we buying all of it?
No, we've worked with Jerry. He's got it don't show in that aerial, but that's the only aerial we had there. I don't know if I can get it back up here. But he's got a new building in there. I don't have a laser pointer with me. I think it's to the left. If you see where right over there, Don, where that little mark is. I don't know if we got, where his trucks are. He's a little bit to the left of that now. He's got a new building he's built in there. We worked with Jerry to get him access and everything and work.
So we're not going to have excess land there. I mean,
the excess land we're going to have is where you see the existing bridge, and we're going to have to plant that. Well, that's one of the requirements. Because we'll be taking a bridge out and a roadway out in that area. But that's not that much extra land in there. We just took what we needed.
Make a fishing pier.
Please?
Make a fishing pier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what we do. I don't know if I got a better... I don't think I got a better picture of that. But I think that's... we spent some time working with Jerry.
The other question is goes up to my old age-old question of... turning left on Route 4, is that going to be?
Excellent question, Greg. Excellent question. Probably one of the thorns in our side. We have tried to secure money in that. For the last 4 years, we worked with ODOT and safety funds to get. We have got a safety study that we did manage to get out of them, but that doesn't do anything. Another study, that's what we need. Study it some more. We know we got a problem, right. But we haven't got the money. That's going to be a big dollar intersection. I'd say that's going to be in a neighborhood of a couple $1 million to work through that. But we continue to work at it. We've continued to work with District 8 to try to get it. District 8 is allied with us, quite honestly, but we can't, and their safety, the best program they can expedite is a safety program, and we have had no success in getting it through it. It's been up to Columbus 2 or 3 times, and matter of fact, there's like 11 projects out of 14 that got funded, and ours was the one rejected.
Greg, since we haven't been able to put the elements together for the Route 63, this has to be a tremendous improvement, I would think.
Oh, yeah. I mean, almost to the, you know, when you talk about tolls, Chuck, almost to our detriment, quite honestly. You know, really, I mean, but we got to do what we got to do, and I think we got to service this and fix these safety issues that we got out here. But this will be better suited to carry the traffic in the future. We're looking long-range planning. We're looking to bring the four-lane facilities into the bridge from Route 4 on down and taking it out west here up to into Trenton. That's long-range planning. The north side up to Trenton is way long-range, but the other stuff from the intersection down is in the works. We're working with ODOT again. The intersection, as Greg mentioned, is probably the key, mm-hmm. is a key component to trying to get this set up.
Yeah, it's my understanding that you're in your office secure about, for every dollar you spend, you secure four from state.
Yeah, we're in a range of running $3 to $4,000 for every local dollar we spend. And we do some silly things, quite honestly. We weren't successful in this, but to tell you how creative we'd get, there's a bridge up on Corsair Road that was on a dead-end street, and there's one of our load-limited bridges. And we knew there's enhancement money out there. Enhancement money is federal dollars that they spend for decorative more stuff and sidewalks and that. And this was only serving like five residents. And we typically are moving away from steel truss structures because of maintenance on them. But we went out and looked, in a three-state area to find a historical truss. Because if we find a historical trust, we could get it 90% federally funded to put this historical trust back on there and use that, because we didn't have to serve a lot of traffic on it. But we didn't have no luck in finding one of the trusses that met the historical criteria that we needed to get done.
Well, I think this is going to open up a lot of economic development areas north, especially it's going to be a big help to Miller Brewery. And you're going to see that, you know, there's hundreds of acres lying right in that area. This will have a big impact on that. You'll see that whole area change.
Does that tie in, Greg, to any of the property that Trenton has purchased?
Yes. I mean, this leads up
right to it.
To right to it.
So Trenton could work with us as far as making the four lane on north?
It's outside their corp line. They got a little section inside there. It's in front of their property. It's in the corporation limits. But they've been an advocate, as you well know, on 63. They've used their RIDs, allocated $17 million out of their RIDs to 63. And they've been a staunch supporter of the 63 project since day one. Would they change the use of those RIDs to look on Wayne Madison? Maybe. We haven't had discussions with them on that.
I think we have to look at what's realistic and what's not at this point.
I think you're right, Don. I think realistic goals when you talk 63 is probably to hold the right of way. You know, and then in the future you can build it. So if there's any development that occurs, we can buy the right of way up and get the plans in a position where you can buy the right of way. I think but the days of trying to think that you're gonna build that structure is getting limited. I think the only way you're gonna do it is and you look at the state. Their funds, what they've got in track, and that's the money we was going at for 63. If they would build everything they got on Tier 1, bypass 40 and you make Tier 1 cut, just to give you a reference. It's a Tier 2. Everything they had programmed on Tier 1, if they would go to build that in the time frame they had allocated, which is 2015, they are $3.5 billion in the hole. So it's done. The Congress has just commissioned a group to talk about surface transportation and give recommendations. That group came back with looking at gas increases of 40 cents a gallon by 08 or 15, next 6 years or something. Plus the fact they think that to meet the infrastructure needs we got in the growing areas, we got to spend three times what we're spending today. And funding is a key to it, and they recognize that. And they open up the doors to look at tolls, maybe more open to look at tollways and private-public partnerships in roadways. and I, as I said many times here, I think what we've seen and the way we build roads and the way we operate today is going to be a lot different tomorrow.
Well, Greg, once you get this new bridge in, and the economic development starts building along that roadway, there may be an alternative to 63.
Mm-hmm.
We may back into that another way.
And I think
once they see this development start, those dollars being produced, I think it helps us. So I think it's for you and your department, it's great. I mean, that's just fabulous for $263,000 for our share. What a bargain. And I think it starts the economic engine up towards Madison and St. Clair and Trenton.
I concur with you, Don. I think as we look to the future, and that was the key to 63, I thought, was, I mean, that's the future of this county in reference from both the economic development and a transportation. We need another river crossing.
Yeah.
We need to move the center of this county, and that was a critical component of 63. Is it realistic anymore? It's getting tougher, there's no doubt. And I think a realistic goal, as I said before, is one that we can secure the right-of-way. I've always looked at that we've got, I wouldn't say they're competing entities, but we're not filled with, Union Center's not finished yet. There's still a lot of vacant ground there. And I think that's what hasn't driven this. But you're already starting to see the market around 75 in Monroe area starting to get hotter and hotter. And I think once it gets hotter, this is the next push here to start pushing, you know, pushing west to get into this area. So we're probably realistically, I'd say 10 years out maybe from seeing it, 15. It's generally should be cheaper ground. The farmers that own it don't necessarily think so when you talk to them about right of way, but that's just the nature of the beast.
So. Good job.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Excellent.
Greg, it doesn't look like there's going to be much of a traffic problem once you build that.
No. The good thing is that it isn't like High Street. We'd be building on all new alignment, and then all we got to deal with traffic is the tie-in
right.
Points.
Yeah.
I hope you build it faster than High Street.
Yeah.
Well, I hope so. It's a little easier project than High Street, in all honesty.
Let's show Ed Shelton what we can do here in the county.
Yeah, we give him a lesson.
Yeah.
Put a little penalty on us.
Dave Fear, you got a replat or a couple of replats?
Hey, you got a pen? Those are better. Yours are better than mine.
I got. First item for approval was Windsor Subdivision. They've got a new builder on that project, and they need to enlarge the lot line, so they are asking for a replat.
Move to approve. I'm sorry.
Second.
Commissioner Jolivet?
Yes.
Commissioner Dixon?
Yes.
Commissioner Freeman?
Yes. Second item is Cedarbrook Subdivision, Liberty Township. This is also a replat. This is two property owners swapping some land back.
Move to approve.
Second.
Commissioner Jolivet?
Yes. Okay. All right.
Okay. Yeah. I'd like to take this opportunity to recognize Township Trustees for the Township Trustee Government Day, which will be February the 1st. We can go ahead and do that today. It's a proclamation. It's what we usually read, just the dates have changed. So. Now be it resolved that we, Charles R. Furman, Donald L. Dixon, and Gregory V. Jolivet, Commissioners of Butler County, do hereby declare February 1st, 2008, to be Township Government Day in Butler County, Ohio, and submit our sincerest congratulations and gratitude to those men and women who serve our fellow citizens and communities throughout their township governments and supporting agencies. So pass that along to...
We need to make a motion. Move to approve.
Second.
Commissioner Gallivet?
Yes.
Commissioner Dixon?
Yes.
Commissioner Furman?
Yes. Thank you. Pass that on to those guys. So. Yeah. Yeah. Anyone have anything else before the commission? To
stay? Yeah, Mr. President?
I'm sorry, Greg.
I do. I just wanted to make a couple comments about what I've read in the media and heard in the media about our jail and our partnership with Hamilton County. I feel bad and upset that the voters of Hamilton County didn't pass the needed sales tax to build their own jail. But in the last couple of days, I've heard criticism of Butler County for being there to help them out in what we charge them. I need to congratulate you, Chuck, in the past commission for having the foresight and the vision to build the jail that we have in Butler County to meet our needs in the future. So my congratulations to you for that vision and to the sheriff for managing the jail. We've been good neighbors to Hamilton County, and we will continue to be. When Hamilton County didn't pass their sales tax, they had 120 days to opt out of our contract. We would have liked to have had a longer period, but we agreed to the 120 days. And then when they didn't pass their sales tax, they asked to get out of the contract with 30 days, which we agreed as being 60 days, which we agreed to be good neighbors. So to receive the criticism that we've received is unwarranted. But I also want to say that we still want to be good neighbors with Hamilton County, because in the spirit of regionalism, it's very important that we have a strong, vibrant Cincinnati, Hamilton County, and Dayton and Montgomery County. We're right in between them. And if they don't succeed and they don't have the attraction to be an attractive communities, it's going to hurt all of us in the region. So we still stand ready to help out wherever we can, and I think that's important. But I think the criticisms that we receive for having the foresight, Chuck, and the commission before is unwarranted. And I just wanted to make that public.
Greg, I appreciate that. Just to add a little bit to that, I think what they're not taking into account here is if we take those prisoners as we contracted to do, we have to hire extra manpower, and we have to plan ahead with the facilities and for food and so on. It's not something where if they decide to send several hundred prisoners, then we can go out on the street and hire three or four people, because it doesn't work that way. There's a lot of training that's involved when you hire those people. And so we have to have a business plan in effect. We can't let the citizens of Butler County suffer in order to do this. But we're happy to be a good neighbor. I think we have been, and I hope we will continue to be.
And I think the sheriff has done a good job. He's done exactly what he said he would do when the prison population was reduced. He made the necessary and businesslike decisions to cut expenses, which isn't very important for our budget. So the relationship that the sheriff had with conducting his jail has been very good, and he needs to be congratulated on that too. And I know that he's also going out and working for trying to, we have the empty bed spaces. We want to be good neighbors for the federal government and the immigration enforcements. So I just was very upset to hear Simon Lees talk about, I guess I need to clarify that, Bill Cunningham was one who really was egging Simon Lees on, and he sort of just didn't acknowledge or didn't support the fact that we did provide such a service for his problem with jail space. And that problem that they have is not going to go away. the people of Hamilton County are going to have to face that. And unfortunately, they need to face it in a hurry, or it's just going to spill over and splash onto more economic development problems for them, because they won't be able to attract businesses and people to downtown Cincinnati.
There's no question about that, Greg.
If they don't do something about that.
I don't like being the scapegoat when you're trying to be a good neighbor.
Right.
I think that that's there's some other things that need to be explained, and I think we have here this morning. So I'm glad you brought that up.
Yep.
It's a very important thing. But I do want to make sure that they understand that we still welcome them with open arms and happy to work with them any way we can. But I would like if they'd take into consideration what's necessary from our end as far as contractual obligations to our citizens. And I really wish them the best. I know they're in bad need of a jail. I know we have been in the past. And without the jail, you really take the teeth out of the bite against crime, and it's an unfortunate situation. You have to have your front line of defense, and that seems to be somewhat hampered because of the lack of jail space. But we're willing to work with them any way we can, and I think they need to rethink some of their comments that they made
right.
recently.
I think the important part that Commissioner Jolivet touched on was that we reduced their out clause from 120 days down to 60 days.
Right.
That is huge
right.
in dollars. How many dollars is that, Derek?
Well, let's see. I think they pay us somewhere around $450,000 a month.
They did when they had 300, the 300 maximum.
So, I mean, when we reduced that contract to that, when we took that from 120 to 60, it was not a $25,000 savings. You know, we really gave them several hundred thousand dollars of relief.
Yeah. Right.
And
right.
I don't know many counties that would have done that.
And thankfully, the sheriff has replaced, you know, a lot of those numbers. I'm not sure what the exact number is, but, you know, two out of the three.
200 out of the three.
So, you know. Even though we're good neighbors, we're still also making use of this jail space that we have.
Yeah, we were obviously filling those as they were going out. New contracts were coming in, so I mean it took a little bit of inconvenience, I think, on the sheriff's part to handle that transition, and everybody's done that. But I think that just again proved that you know how willing we are to keep those relationships the best as possible by giving them that kind of relief and those numbers.
And we're still working, obviously, with Montgomery County and Warren County.
Right.
And with the good neighbor policy, and that's working well. And the sheriff is receiving prisoners from the ICE and some other agencies.
So.
Marshall, State Marshal. But good point. Everything else?
Nope, that's it.
Anyone?
Move to adjourn.
Second.
Commissioner Jolivet?
Yes.
Commissioner Dixon?
Yes.
Commissioner Furman?
Yes.
I get the hang of this. I get the hang. I don't think I have anything personal in here. But.
I kept the money.